Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. In some translations and versions of our gospel lesson this morning, the title is not The Rich Man and Lazarus, but rather Dives and Lazarus. There's even an English folk carol based on this text that has that title, Dives and Lazarus. If you don't know the carol, you probably know the tune at least. But there is a name given to the rich man, according to many traditions, Dives. Now, to be sure, that's not actually his name, and those who gave him this name in history realized that. Dives simply means rich man, or wealthy in Latin. And even though our forefathers knew that that wasn't actually his name, they had a purpose in calling him Dives. For that word, Dives, if you dig a little bit deeper, shares a root with the Latin word for God, Deus. You know that because we get the words divinity and divine from that Latin word. And so when you put it together, the name Dives literally means something like God blessed or favored by God. And with that in mind, there's a very interesting connection then between the two men in our gospel lesson today. For the name Lazarus is a very similar meaning in the Hebrew language from which it comes. That means God has helped or helped by God. And so, today's gospel lesson is really the story of two men, one named God Blessed, and the other named God Helped. Well, which one is it? They can't both live up to their names. The very vastly different circumstances of their lives would keep us from assuming that God had blessed and helped both men equally. Only one really deserved the name God Helped, or God blessed. The other did not. So which is it? Who was really God helped? Who was really God blessed? Ask any average Joe on the street and he'll tell you. It's got to be the rich man. That's the man that God helped and blessed. It's natural to think that way. After all, who do you think God has blessed? The homeless men and women standing in the Walmart parking lot or the interstate on-ramps, dressed in ratty coats and patchwork jeans? Or the Hollywood celebrities walking down the red carpet, wearing the latest fashions from Milan or Paris? Who's God helped? The man digging through the dumpster behind the restaurant, looking for some half-eaten food that isn't too moldy? Or the couple that sits down to an elegant gourmet dinner at a candlelit table? Who do you think is helped by God? Who do you think is blessed by God? Or just ask yourself, which would you rather be? Of course, we would assume that the rich man was the one who actually deserved his name, God Blessed. He wore purple and fine linen every day, the softest and the most expensive clothing for the most skilled tailors in the world. And Jesus tells us this wasn't just his fancy party apparel. He wore it every day. He feasted sumptuously on the finest food and drink that money could buy, prepared by the best chefs from the most exotic locales. Again, not just on special occasions, but daily. He lived a life of luxury every single day of his life. He celebrated, he feasted every meal, with lots of influential and powerful friends, no doubt rich friends besides, at his table. The gentry of the best, as that folk carol puts it. Rich man had it good, as good, maybe better, than any man before or since has had it. A good life that most of us can only get a glimpse of in the movies or in magazines. In contrast, who in their right mind would think Lazarus was helped by God next to the rich man? He was laid at the gate of that rich man, literally thrown there, dumped there like garbage. He was desperately poor, even according to the standards of that day and age, which means he suffered such horrible poverty, we can't even begin to imagine what it would be like. He was sick, covered with sores. He apparently had no strength to get around or move by himself. Jesus even tells us that the dogs came to lick Lazarus' sores, which means he was either too weak to fend them off, or he was so miserable that their tongues were a relief and comfort to him. He had no fine clothing, or clothing of any kind for that matter, to cover him, so his wounds remained exposed and opened. Feasting? That was the furthest thing from Lazarus' experience, let alone feasting sumptuously every day. In fact, the scriptures say he would have been satisfied with what just fell from the rich man's table, crumbs of bread, tidbits of meat, drops of wine, bits of food that the rich man probably didn't even notice. Lazarus, he had no bread, no meat, no wine, no friends, no fine clothing, nothing at all. Who would wish such a life, even on their worst enemy? And so Dives, the rich man, God blessed, lived each and every day of his life as one who had evidently been blessed by God, far beyond that which most of us could ever dream. And the poor man, Lazarus, God helped, lived each and every day of his life as one that nobody had helped, apparently, not even the God for whom he was named. So again, Jesus tells us a story of two men, God blessed and God helped, and only one seemed to live up to that name. And so it was. As Jesus tells this story, one man did, in fact, live up to his name. One man was, in fact, blessed by God. One man was, in fact, helped by God. But it was only at death that the identity of that man was finally revealed. And it was none other than Lazarus. Lazarus, the poor man. He, in the end, truly embodied his name. He was helped by God. For when he died, Jesus says, the angels of God themselves came and carried him to Abram's side. What greater help, what a greater blessing could there be than to be brought by God's holy angels themselves to eternal rest and comfort in the presence of the Almighty Lord? The rich man, however, at his death, was not helped, nor was he blessed by God. When he died, he was simply buried. No angels, no Abram's side. He simply found himself in Hades, in hell. Now there's a very important lesson for us all to learn in today's gospel, and that is our outward circumstances are not indicative of God's favor upon us. Earthly possessions and prosperity do not mean that one is more blessed or more helped by God than one who struggles. The biblical truth that God loves his own, that he cares for those who believe in him, does not mean that God is going to give to his believers perfect health, abundant wealth, or many possessions, or earthly security, or a life of comfort, free from struggle and sorrow. Now, of course, you know there are many so-called pastors who teach that very thing, who preach that God's blessing and help to the Christian is of a material nature, and that if you are lacking in physical comforts, then you must be lacking God's favor. Well, that's a lie. It's a lie to say that God will, without fail, give his Christians every earthly good they desire simply because they're Christians. God promises no such thing in his word. And therefore, you cannot determine God's love for you based on the number on your bank statement, the square footage of your house, the health and well-being of your family, or any other earthly good. Yet you may be certain of God's favor. You may be sure of God's love. For you have that which the rich man rejected in Hades, Moses and the prophets. You have the Word of God. For in the Word of God, written through Moses and the prophets in the Old Testament, and through the apostles and evangelists in the New Testament, God himself tells you that faith in him is counted to you as righteousness. There, God himself tells you of the love he has for you, so that you may be confident for the day of judgment. In God's word alone, not in the things of this world, not in your earthly security, not in your possessions, not in your pleasures, but in God's word, and God's word alone, can you be sure that you are blessed by God and helped by God. For in the word, there you hear of the man who did, in fact, rise from the dead, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As we heard just last week, God tells us in his word that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. On the cross, God gave his dearest treasure, Jesus. During his earthly life and ministry, Jesus declared that he had nowhere to lay his head, indicating that he was not a rich man, at least not in the world's eyes. In his final hour, he was wounded with no one, not even dogs, to comfort him. He was beaten and mocked and abandoned. He was crucified. Hardly the world's idea of what the Son of God, one who is blessed and helped by God, ought to endure. And yet Jesus endured it. He endured it for you because of his boundless love for you. He took your sin, your death, your condemnation upon himself and suffered and died in your place to forgive your sins and give you everlasting life. And on the third day, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, just as foretold by Moses and the prophets. This, therefore, this is the most sure, most certain proof of God's unfailing love and favor toward you, his everlasting help and blessing for you. Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for you. Yes, to the eye, the rich man was the one who deserved his name, blessed by God, and Lazarus was anything but helped by God. But again, Jesus tells us in this lesson today that we should not judge God's love based on our outward circumstances. Though you may suffer in this earthly life, even at present, God has not withdrawn his love for you, from you. And though you may prosper in this earthly life, that is not proof of God's favor. The only proof you have of God's love is the death and resurrection of Jesus. And you can be sure of that. By reason? No, but by faith. And again, this faith, which clings to Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead for our salvation, this faith is counted by God as righteousness, just as he counted it to Abram long ago. In the end, that was the difference between the rich man and Lazarus. That's what truly made Lazarus blessed and helped by God, his faith. It wasn't his poverty that brought Lazarus to heaven. Poor people die and go to hell every day. Nor was it the rich man's wealth that sent him to hell. Rich people die and go to heaven every day. We know that from the example of Abraham, at whose side Lazarus found rest. Abraham was extremely wealthy for his time, but his wealth neither earned nor prevented his everlasting salvation. Abraham, for all his wealth, trusted in the Lord, and he was saved by his faith and faith alone. Because again, that, not his money, not his possessions, his faith is what God counted to him as righteousness. And Lazarus, though he was miserably poor, shared his father Abram's rich faith, and through faith alone he too was saved. And by the same you are saved as well. Neither wealth nor poverty, neither joy nor sorrow, Neither prosperity nor want, neither success or suffering avails anything before God Almighty. But rather he has helped and he has blessed you by his grace alone, won for you by Jesus Christ alone, revealed to you in the Word of God alone, received by you by faith alone. Again, you may have great prosperity in this earthly life according to possessions, but that doesn't make you blessed by God. You may have great suffering in this earthly life, but that doesn't mean that God has not helped you. Rather, cling to this truth, that whether you are rich or poor, you are truly rich, truly blessed by God, by grace alone. For God has blessed you in Christ with every blessing in the spiritual, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Believe the good news that you are truly helped by God, by grace alone. For Jesus Christ helps those who are offspring of Abraham, you by faith. He has forgiven you all your sins. He has rescued you from death and the devil. He has given eternal salvation to you who believe. Yes, all who believe this good news can be confident. Confident that in the last hour of your earthly life, you too will be carried by the angels of God to your eternal rest, to dwell in the presence of Abraham, Moses and the prophets, the saints, and above all, the man who rose from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.